الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله
بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, our Sharia from its very inception has promoted and has encouraged good, and it has prevented and has discouraged evil. However, over the years, either because of the environment, either because of the time that you and I are living in, there are certain evils, for whatever reason, seems to be more prevalent than what it was before. And one of those evils is something that I would like to highlight in today's talk, and that is the evil of adultery and fornication. We must keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept certain impulses and urges and desires in people. The sexual appetite is ingrained in human nature, and it is one of the most pressing urges in a human being. And it sometimes can become such a pressing demand that our ulama, when they speak about nikah, which is the solution to this desire, they make mention that normally nikah is sunnah. However, they also make mention in the tawqani wajibun. However, for those whose desires and urge becomes pressing and compelling, then it becomes farz for him to get married. Now, how do we deal with this desire and urge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept within us? Basically, you can say that there are three ways of dealing with this desire and urge. One is to suppress it. Just to suppress this particular desire which is within a person. Such suppression, however, is not recommended in our Sharia for several reasons. One is, it is against the natural order, the natural fitrat, which requires the fulfillment of this desire for the continuation of the human race. It is only through the fulfillment of this desire will human race continue. And of course, human race continuing has an added significance that human being is Allah's representative on this earth. So that's natural order. It's suppressing this natural order is not something recommended. Then another aspect is, if one stops, for example, the natural flow of water, if you try and stop the natural flow of water, what happens? Then you will find that water becomes stagnant. When the water becomes stagnant, you will find dirt and a whole host of diseases which comes around stagnant water. Taking this example further, we've got to keep in mind that if you suppress this natural desire, it creates its own types of evil. And we find this in the Roman Catholic Church, for example, where they suppressed and is prohibited for them to fulfill this desire. What has happened? We have seen the scandals that have rocked the world and has been the headlines of newspapers many a times and many occasions. So this type of response to this desire is not natural, is not recommended, it is not correct. Another particular response of it, which might seem glamorous in the eyes of certain people or in certain segments of society, is that let me go and fulfill this desire with whomsoever I wish, with whomsoever is available. Now that is not also the proper method of dealing with this desire and urge. Firstly, because it might, to an extent, provide for physical relief and physical satisfaction, but it will leave an emotional vacuum, and a person will remain emotionally dissatisfied. When he remains emotionally dissatisfied, it has its repercussion in many other ways. Secondly, if a person starts practicing on this, or society and community starts practicing upon this way, let me fulfill my desire with whomsoever I wish, then it reduces the status of Ashraful Makhlukat, the best of Allah's creation, to that of an animal, to the lowest of beasts, and to the lowest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Thirdly, it is a distortion of human nature and of human values. Fourthly, let me make mention, then it will become a very cruel society. Wallah, a promiscuous society is a very cruel society. Why is it a very cruel society? People will only be appreciated for their looks. And more we are seeing this happening in the Western civilization. People are appreciated for their looks. The moment their looks are no more with them, they are no more appreciated. Look at what happens to the old people in their community and society. This is the reason when we start looking at the fulfillment of our desire in a promiscuous society, in a promiscuous way. What happens? It leads to all these harms which I have made mention. Now, how do we deal with it? The Sharia had said the way to deal with it is to regulate it. Neither give it a free rein, neither suppress it. Neither suppress it, because suppressing of a natural order is not recommended and encouraged. Neither give it such a free rein which leads to the distortion of human values which I have outlined. And what is the Sharia's recommendation? That you regulate it. And that regulation is, you do it within the framework of nikah. You fulfill your desires within the framework of nikah. Outside nikah, it is not permissible. It is haram. It is illegitimate. In fact, not only permissible, within nikah it is also encouraged. Nabi Karim s.a.w. has termed it as sadaqah and charity, to fulfill your desires, both for the male and female, within the noble precincts and sacred confines of nikah. This is with regard to it. This has been the ways of all religion. However, in our religion, it is even further encouraged, because the beauty of our religion is that it goes a step further. Our religion had said, not only is the actual act haram of adultery and fornication and zina, but anything that leads to zina is equally haram. So anything which excites the passion, anything which encourages indecent behavior in terms of morality and modesty, that is also haram. And the first step with regard to it is to look at the opposite sex. That's the first step. Nabi Karim s.a.w. had said, Al-aynani taznian. The eyes also commit zina, and the zina of the eyes is to look at a strange woman that you are not supposed to look at. A poet had said, first a look, then a smile, then a talk, then a promise, and then the warmth of the bed. Where it started off? It started off from the eyes. Therefore, Nabi Karim s.a.w. has greatly warned and said it is one of the arrows of shaitan, to look at strange women. If it is with lust, it is an added guna. But even to look is also a guna in sin. You see, and that is what we are going to keep. And Nabi Karim s.a.w. had said that the first gaze, not for very long, the first gaze, if unintentional, is forgiven. But then don't continue with your gaze and don't look again, because it is haram. And today, we have a further type of fitna on our hands. Let me spend some time with regard to it. And that is not only casting glances to strange women, but today we have a situation in our community and society with regard to pornographic material becoming readily and becoming easily available to our youth and to people and men in the society. This is a major fitna. And it is not something that is minor or insignificant. Today, what is pornography? It is explicit material to cause stimulation. And it is something that can become addictive if we don't control it. It can become addictive if we don't control it. The so-called top magazines that promote, you know, soft, I'm even ashamed to use this, but I've got to use it for the sake of making people aware. Soft porn sells something like 20 million copies monthly. That is with regard to what is known as quote-unquote soft. The one that is rated as triple X, there is no statistics available because it is so widespread. Now this is the situation. Then we have TV shows that are also encouraging this. Now this has a very great harm and destructive nature within our society and community. It is inherently anti-family. People who become addicted to this, what then happens is, aliyadu billah, he expects his lawfully wedded wife to perform his exotic fantasies or to play out his exotic fantasies. His wife will regularly object to it and rightly object to it. Now when she rightly objects to it, it breeds up anger and frustration within a person because obviously her figure is not like the latest pun-up model. So when it breeds up more anger and frustration, what happens? A person looks for an outlet. Where does that outlet become? The outlet becomes for cheap women who are out there on the streets. And what has led to it? Led to it something that we see with our eyes, something that we should be avoiding. But because it is becoming readily available, people are not taking the precaution that is required and don't look at the long-term harms with regard to what this is causing. Wallahi, it is causing havoc in family life. I know of situations where this is happening, where it is causing stress in family life. And if people are not aware with regard to it, it can lead to great amount of spiritual ruin and destruction of our family life and values. Keep in mind what our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, La'anallahu nazir, Allah's curses be upon a person who look at such a thing. And we've got to be aware with regard to it. Then of course, there are other aspects. Never be with a woman in privacy. Never be with a woman in privacy. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, it is impossible that a man and woman who are strangers to one another are in a place where there is privacy. Even if it be in the lift when you are going from one floor to the other and you are alone. Don't put yourself in a vulnerable situation. Because it is impossible that you are in such a situation where shaitan would not goad or encourage you to perform something that is haram. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not touch the hand of a strange woman. It is easier for you to put your hand in the blood of a swine than to touch a woman that you are not supposed to touch. In one hadith in Tibrani, it is better for a steel rod to be put through your head than for you to touch a woman that you are not supposed to touch. When there is such great warnings with regard to things that lead to adultery, can we imagine what is the punishment and what is Allah's anger with regard to adultery itself? Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was about to be jailed because he did not give in to the seduction of a woman who was very pretty, very influential, very, very wealthy, and may I dare say it, even willing. And what did he say? He said, Rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yakunani ilay. Oh Allah, I will prefer going to prison than to falling prey to the seduction of this woman who is calling me towards adultery. I'll rather go and sit in prison than to go and commit adultery. When Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took an oath from the mushrika woman, from the woman who were disbelievers and had just accepted Islam after the conquest of Makkah, amongst them was Hinda, the wife of Abu Sufyan, who had chewed the liver of Hamza radiallahu anhu, the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And one of those aspects that she was required to take a pledge on, we will not commit adultery. Hinda, who chewed the liver of Hamza, said, does a self-respecting person ever commit adultery? This was from a woman who had done such a vile deed, but yet when she was making pledge and allegiance, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took an allegiance and pledge from her that you will not commit adultery, she said, does any self-respecting person ever does such a thing? Now, all this is said, we can say, well, very true, all this is true, but today it's becoming common. Why is it becoming common? One of the reasons for it becoming common is because it is so widespread, it is glorified. It is glorified in the media. We read the newspapers. Now, I'm not giving a fatwa with regard to it, but in the newspapers, affairs, counter affairs are just something that is as if it is normal. Look at the euphemisms that we use today to relate and to speak about these aspects. How do we relate and how do we speak about it? So we speak about extramarital affairs as it is something as innocent as extracurricular affairs. Then what we speak about things like, things that are excused or soften the perception of the guna and the sin. Fooling around, sleeping around, a fling, dallying around. Now what does all this? It brings within us, as it is not as serious as what the ulama or what the sharia makes at all. You look at certain type of jokes, there's one that is doing the round on the emails. You'll find something like this. One person writing to one auntie Rhoda in the agony column. My husband is fooling around. I confronted him. He denied it but said he won't do it again. And you might laugh, but what is the situation happening? It creates a type of situation that, well, it's there, it's not so serious. And then we have films that people are watching, which once again promotes this. For example, one of the examples I've given, I checked this on the website, one of the things, English Patient, was nominated for 12 Oscar nominations, glorifies adultery right till the end. Now when you see it, your children are seeing it, are you afraid that they're going to be affected by it? Now, when we look at all this, we today are taking it very, very lightly. And remember, my dear respected brothers, to tolerate promiscuity from your friends is encouraging it. If you know that your friends are doing it and you tolerate it, you are actually encouraging it. And may Allah Ta'ala forbid if we start encouraging it or we tolerate it, what can happen? What Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day foresaw when a man came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, allow me to commit adultery. He was young, he did not know the etiquette of speaking in the presence of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he felt there was nothing wrong in this. Sahaba were completely shocked. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and said, O my son, O my youngster, that you know the person whom you are going to commit adultery with? Do you feel that it might be the mother of someone? He said, yes. Would you like someone to do the same thing with your mother? The woman you are going to commit adultery with might be the sister of someone. Would you like someone to commit adultery with your own sister? When you commit adultery with another woman, she is definitely the daughter of someone. Do you like someone to commit adultery with your own daughter? With your own aunt? When he said this, this person started realizing that what is the consequence of adultery. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hit him on his chest and put his hand on his chest. Wallah, the Sahaba said there was no one who was more modest than him after this encounter with our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When things become, when we tolerate it, when we encourage it, may Allah forbid, that it must not be a situation one day it happened with our own. Do we realize what is happening? Wallah, my dear respected brothers, adultery shatters trust. It shatters self-esteem. It breaks up families. It ruins career. It leads to spiritual disaster. It leads to spiritual disaster. Therefore, amongst the aspects that our Sharia had said, adultery and fornication, through it, Allah becomes angry. مَا مِنْ ذَنْبٍ أَعْزَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ وَضَعَهَا رَجُلْ فِي رَحِمِ اللَّهِ يَحِلُّ لَهِ. There is no guna more severe than a person placing his sperm in a place where he's not supposed to place it. The reckoning of the year after will be very severe. So the blessedness of risk is lost when a person commits adultery and fornication. He is deprived of doing good. He becomes hated and cursed in the eyes of the common people. The nation involved in zina will be afflicted with droughts. The spreading of diseases and illness for which cures cannot be found will become rampant in community and society. The destruction of localities will take place. The cause of earthquakes, the cause of illegitimate children. The list goes on and on. Allah Ta'ala says, don't come near this evil act. It is immoral. It is an evil. It leads to an evil path which leads to many other evils. Let me conclude by saying, my dear respected brothers, the sexual pleasure is one of the most attractive joys of this world. It is one of the most attractive joys in this world. More attractive than many other joys. And only a person who fears Allah can keep away from it through the means of modesty, through the means of chastity, through the means of his iman in Allah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that a person has an imani garb, a garb of iman, but the imani garb is so sensitive to immorality. When a person commits adultery, the garb of iman comes out of his body and hovers above his head. It doesn't want to remain in a person when he is doing this particular evil and despicable act. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our communities and societies free from all these types of immorality. And may each and every person, every human being, irrespective of the great amount of temptations that are out there, whether it be married men, whether it be people who are not married, and trade is becoming common, either way, both sides, either each and every one, may Allah ta'ala keep us away from this immorality, this despicable act and deed which has such severe repercussions both upon our spirituality, upon our life in this world, and upon our whole community. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.